مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say, مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Stay.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salatum wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are blessed with the opportunity to listen and learn few beautiful ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان بدع وسبعون شعبة فأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ This hadith is reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that there are few and 70 branches of Iman. Highest of them is to say La ilaha illallah, there is no worthy of worship but Allah. And the lowest of them is to remove something which is harmful from the path. And modesty is a branch of Iman. This was the translation of Hadith Mubarakah, which I have read out. The narrator of this hadith is Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We have heard this beautiful name of a beautiful Sahabi Rasul many a times. Because he is the narrator of hadith, whenever a new narrator will come in a hadith, we will give a brief introduction of that particular narrator. His name in the time of ignorance was Abdus Shams, a slave of a son. And when he became Muslim, he was given this beautiful name, Abdur Rahman ibn Sakhrdusi. He became Muslim in the year of Battle of Khaybar. And he remained with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 4 years like a shadow. Mean he was always with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loved cats. And once he put a cat in his sleeve and he came in the holy court of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the cat and he said, "You are Abu Huraira." Abu Huraira means possessor of cats or a man of cats. And from that day, this name became so famous that people forgot his original name and everyone calls him Abu Huraira. He passed away in Madinatul Munawwara in the year 35 after migration, after Hijrah. And he is buried in Jannatul Baqi. His age was 87 years old. And he had extraordinary memory. Why he had so wonderful and extraordinary memory? Because one day he came to the holy court of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, when I memorize something, I forget. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his blessed saliva in his mouth and from that day he never forgot anything. There are 4,364 ahadith narrated by Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In this hadith mubarakah, it is said that iman has branches. The word shu'ba is used. In Arabic, shu'ba is branch of a tree. But here, characteristic is meant. There are highest type of characteristics and there are lower type of characteristics. But a Muslim should have all those characteristics of Islam, whether they are of lower level or they are of higher level. And the highest level of characteristic which is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah is to recite Kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. One should keep on reciting, repeat Kalima Tayyiba and become habitual of reciting and reading Kalima Sharif. To make Isale Sawab and send Sawab or convey Sawab to deceased Muslims at the time when we have 3-day khatam for the Isale Sawab of Marhum or deceased Muslim. This principle is derived from this hadith mubarakah because Kalima is the greatest of ibadat and the thawab which is earned on greatest of ibadat is also very great. Therefore, it became culture amongst Muslims that they get together on the third day and they have grams, chana, and they recite Kalima Tayyiba and send the thawab to Marhum. So this hadith mubarakah is base for that practice. And then the lowest of characteristics which we have learnt is to remove something harmful from the path. For example, if there is a brick or stone or wood lying on the path, you remove it so others don't get hurt or fall. So when the intention is good, then inshallah one would get the thawab and reward. Similarly, to give benefits to the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal is also a great thawab. For example, if someone needs water, you give them the water to drink. Some people put sabil in a busy place where there are a lot of activities of people. Sabil is like a drum full of water with tap. So passerbys can drink water from that. It's a very good habit and a lot of Muslims do that. Some would even dig a well and make waqf. So people can drink water from that well. They can use that water for ghusl, for wudu. Even animals, birds can drink water from that well. Lands or the farms can be irrigated from that well. So these are very good services and worthy of great thawab. Then in this hadith mubarakah, another beautiful word is mentioned and that is Al-Hayaw Shu'batum Min Al-Iman. Haya, shyness or modesty is a department of Iman. So what type of ghairat or modesty is mentioned in this hadith mubarakah? A modesty which can stop you from committing sins. For example, a lot of people, they do not commit sins in front of people because they know that people would see us and they will criticize us and they feel shy doing something wrong in front of other people. But when they are alone in their privacy, they do lots of wrong things. So a person who has a modesty, who has a real shyness, he will always think that even though no person is watching me, but Almighty Allah is watching me and the angels are there and they are also watching me. So how can I do something indecent and shameless? So that is the modesty which is mentioned here. So a believer is that who is modest, whether he is in front of people or he is in his privacy, he does not do wrong things. Sometimes people feel shy from doing right things, and that's not the type of shyness is meant here. For example, somebody just got married and spent the first night with his wife, ghusl became farz. Now he says, if I'm going to go and make ghusl, everybody will see and what they'll think about me. And he's shy of that. And he misses the namaz. So this is actually the shyness from the nafs and shyness from shaitan. It's the production of satanic whispering. One has to make sure that whether people, whatever they want to think, let them think. But I have to do the right things. I have to follow the laws of Sharia. So we understand what type of shyness is meant or what type of modesty is meant in this hadith mubarakah. وَعَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَمْرِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُسْلِمُ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ هذا لفظ البخاري ولمسلم قال إن رجلا سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أي المسلمين خير قال من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. This is the second hadith mubarakah. The translation of hadith mubarakah is that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Muslim is that from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are protected. And the muhajir, a migrator, is the one who leaves the prohibited things. These are the words of Imam Bukhari in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the words of Imam Muslim in Sahih al-Muslim are as follow. That a man came in the court of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, Ya Rasulullah, tell me who is the best Muslim? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are protected. In this hadith mubarakah, the narrator is Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr. He is the son of Amr bin As bin Wail. And he became Muslim before his father. His father also became Muslim, but he became Muslim before him. And he used to write a hadith with the permission of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wrote about 700 ahadith. And this tells us that Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in used to write a hadith. So that misconception that some people have, that ahadith were written 300 years after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is incorrect and refuted from this hadith mubarakah. That ahadith were written with the permission of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'een, and Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr is one of them who wrote 700 ahadith of beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was a great scholar, very pious, hard-working worshipper. He became blind towards the end of his life. In 63 years of Hijrah, he passed away in Taif or in Egypt. This was the brief introduction of the narrator of this Hadith Mubarakah. Now in this Hadith Mubarakah, it is mentioned that Muslim is that from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are protected. What it means? It means that a kamil, a complete and excellent Muslim is that who makes other Muslims comfortable in his presence. So other Muslims are not scared of him. Other Muslims do not change their path or street when they see this Muslim standing. Because there are some Muslims who are hooligans, who are gangsters. They use vulgar language, they swear at people, they insult. And people are scared and they feel unsafe when they are in the presence of such person. So what type of Muslim is he? So the real Muslim is that from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are protected. It means that this Muslim does not backbite, he does not swear at anyone or use vulgar language, he does not pass remarks, he does not carry tales, assassinate people's character. These are the harms of tongue, and there could be many others. And he doesn't hit anyone, beat anyone, and he doesn't riot against anyone. Mean against Muslims. So this Hadith Mubarakah collects all beautiful characteristics of a true and a complete and an excellent Muslim. Why particularly the Muslims are mentioned in this Hadith Mubarakah? Why is it not mentioned that a true Muslim is that from whose hand and tongue people are protected? It's not said here people are protected, it is said here Muslims are protected. It is because sometimes with kuffar, with non-Muslims, you have problems, disputes, wars, jihad, and you have to fight with them. And sometimes you have to talk ill about them to warn your people, inform about their plots and hypocrisy, which they are using, and conspiracies which they are using to hurt Muslims. So therefore they are excluded. So this Hadith Mubarakah is very short but very sweet, and it has a very beautiful and very strong message. If we can practice upon this one Hadith Mubarakah, our Muslim society will become very peaceful, full of harmony and loving. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين متفق عليه. This hadith is reported by Hazrat Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه. He says that our beloved Master صلى الله عليه وسلم said, none of you would become a believer till I become more beloved to you than your parents, children, and every other person in this world. Hazrat Anas bin Malik bin Nadar Ansari Khazraji radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a special khadim, a servant of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he spent 10 years serving the beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that 10 years he said that not even a single day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shouted at him or got angry at him. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, doesn't that inform you that how beautiful the character of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is? 10 years is a long time, and servants, workers, many a times they do a lot of things which would upset you, and you will get angry at some times, and you will shout at some times. But look at the patience of my beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That in 10 years, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that not even one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam scolded me or shouted at me or got angry. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu got very long life. He reached 100 years of age. And in the time of the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he migrated to Basra in Iraq. And in the year 93 after Hijrah, he passed away and is buried in Basra, and his grave is there, and the thousands of Muslims always go there and seek blessings from the grave of the personality of this great man of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now in this Hadith Mubarakah, a very beautiful message has been given. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the standard of Iman. He told us the foundation of Iman. He said, you can't be a believer. You cannot claim that you are a Muslim or a believer till you love me more than your children, more than your parents, and more than everybody else. If one feels that I love my children more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he must worry about his Iman. If one feels that I love my parents more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he must worry about his Iman. If one says I love my Pir o Murshid more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he must worry about his Iman. And if one feels I love my teacher more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he must worry about his Iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love must be greater than the love of every other person. And what kind of love one should have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The love that one should have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be natural, because we love our children naturally. It's in our nature to love our children. It is in our nature to love our parents. It is in our nature to love our close relatives. So if one love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not naturally but rationally, for example, if he feels, well, I have to love him. If I don't love him, my Iman would not be proven, and I cannot enter paradise, and I cannot love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I have to love him. So mentally, intellectually, rationally, he reaches that conclusion. No, that's not the type of love which is needed to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You need to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam naturally. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, every Muslim loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam naturally. The question comes in mind, why the love of Almighty Allah azza wa jal is not mentioned? So dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indeed the love of Almighty Allah azza wa jal. Why do we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We love him because he is the beloved of Allah. We love him because he is the Rasul of Allah. If na'udhu billah he was in opposition to Almighty Allah azza wa jal, would we have loved him? No. So love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not separate from the love of Almighty Allah azza wa jal. So love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is inseparable. And then also keep in mind that a person who might love Allah azza wa jal but not love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that possibility do exist. But it is not possible that a person loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and does not love Almighty Allah azza wa jal. Therefore, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah, and that has been made as a standard, as a foundation of our faith and our iman. So if anyone compromises on that, he doesn't have a foundation for his iman. And anything that doesn't have a foundation, a building doesn't have a foundation, it collapses, it falls down. So if we want that the building of our iman stay strong and firm and everlasting, so we can take our iman with us right up to our qabr and right in the mahshar, then we need to make sure that we must love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam unconditionally, without any limitations and restrictions. وعن عبادة بن الصامت قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وحوله عصابة من أصحابه بايعوني على ألا تشركوا بالله شيئا ولا تسرقوا ولا تزنوا ولا تقتلوا أولادكم ولا تأتوا ببهتان تفترونه بين أيديكم وأرجلكم ولا تعصوا في معروف فمن وفى منكم فأجره على الله ومن أصاب من ذلك شيئا فعرقب به في الدنيا فهو كفارة له ومن صاب من ذلك شيئا ثم ستره الله فهو إلى الله إن شاء عفا عنه وإن شاء عاقبه فَبَايَعْنَاهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. In this beautiful hadith, Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and that time a group of Sahaba was sitting around him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take bayat with me, or take allegiance with me, that you will not associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not steal, you will not commit adultery, you will not kill your children, and you would not plant or manufacture an accusation against someone, and you will not disobey in something good. Someone tells you something good, you will not disobey. And the one who will be loyal, the one who will fulfill his promise, his reward is on the responsibility of blessings and the karam and the fadl of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And if someone does something from these above mentioned things, and if he gets the punishment in the dunya, there is expiation for his wrongdoing. And if someone does something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered him, so that is in the hand of Almighty Allah azza wa jal. If he wants, he can forgive him, and if he wants, he can punish him. So on that we took bayat on the blessed hand of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is in Bukhari and in Muslim. Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's one of the Ansari Sahabi. He took part in the first bayat and the second bayat of Uqbah. And he is part of the team of Sahaba who collected Quran-e-Kareem. He participated in Badr and in all other battles. He was appointed as a qazi, as a judge of Syria in the time of the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He stayed in Hams, that is the city in Syria, and he passed away in Palestine, place called, a city called Ramla, at the age of 72 years, in the year 34 after Hijrah, after migration. In this Hadith Mubarakah, the word Isabat is mentioned. The word Isaba is derived from Asaba. It means strength. But now the word is used for a group of people whose number is from 10 to 40. So those Sahaba who were sitting around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their number was between 10 right up to 40. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to take bayat. So what type of bayat was this? This was bayat-e taqwa. That in future, you will not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not steal, you will not commit adultery, etc. As far as the bayat of Islam is concerned, they took that already. That's why they were Sahaba, that's why they were Muslims, that's why they were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these days the bayat we take on the hands of mashayikh or peer or murshid, that is bayat of taqwa. And this hadith mubarakah is the dalil, is the proof of bayat with mashayikh. So if anyone wants to ask this question, there are some people who have problem with bayat or who have difficulty to comprehend the system of bayat. So this hadith mubarakah can be shown to them, that this is the way of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in to make bayat on the hand of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took bayat from Sahaba Ikram many a times on jihad and on many other matters. So each time there was a mission to accomplish, Sahaba Ikram would make bayat. Bayat is a promise. Bayat is a commitment that I will fulfill this particular mission and make that promise with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what Sahaba Ikram used to do. And these days when we take bayat on the hands of mashayikh, we also make a promise. You might have heard Amir Ahl-e-Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Al-Qudsiya, when he takes bayat, you have seen on Madini channel, that person says, "Main wada karta hun," that I make a promise that I will not do backbiting or speak lies or be in the company of evil people, those who have corrupted beliefs and etc., etc. So this is indeed making a promise, a commitment to improve your life and to better your life. People of Arab, they used to kill their children, and especially the daughters. And they used to commit adultery. So these two things are mentioned particularly. And they used to sit and proudly talk about it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted that. Promise me that you people will not do that. And then, you know, putting false accusations and manufacturing accusations was very common. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took that promise from them as well. So, dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, in today's silsila we have learned many beautiful Madani flowers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability. So may we remember these beautiful Madani flowers and pass them over to others. And may we practice upon it as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, said, O Mubalik, for you it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, stay.